Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to another edition of the Socially Distant Podcast, brought to you by Funky Buddha Hard Seltzer, a premium hard seltzer made from cane sugar and agave for a crisp, clean taste and only 90 funky calories. Today, my guest is Tom DeLong. There he is.
Well, hello.
It looks
How are you?
I'm doing good. It looks beautiful out there. Where are you at?
I am at my cabin, and let me turn up my sound a little bit.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on the edge of the universe up here.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Southern California.
Nothing like
2 hours.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's about 2 hours northeast of San Diego in the mountains. But yeah, I'm fortunate that I can kind of get out of one house for a little bit. I can't get up here all the time, but yeah. Trying.
Yeah, nothing wrong with some peace and quiet.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Exactly. So you got a new single out. All That's Left is Love. And there's a lot going on with that single. Not only is it good, obviously, but you have some charity aspects involved with that too, right?
Yeah, we 100% of the money generated by the song will go to Feeding America. I work Feeding America quite a lot. I've been donating things for auction, and my daughter helped out in their warehouse. I've given out food on holidays and at schools to underprivileged families. And it just made a lot of sense. In this pandemic, there's a lot of people that are having a lot of pain right now,
yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of children that only get their meals at school.
I know.
School. So it was a very organic thing to do, was to do the song, and work with them.
And then, you have a exclusive t-shirt deal to help Feeding San Diego, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, that part, I don't know all the pieces of info about that, but yes, there is like a shirt that goes with it, and how it all works together was a little bit above my pay grade.
Awesome. So yeah. When did you first realize that you were going to be a musician for the rest of your life?
Shit, I think when I started playing guitar the seventh grade, I was like, as long as I can do this, I'm very happy about it. And as long as I can get out of my house and travel a little bit and run from what my life was, you know?
Yeah.
But I never really thought it would be successful. I mean, like my goal was to play in front of like 1,000 people a night, because there's a punk band called NOFX, and when I saw them when I was a kid, I was like, they play to 1,000 people a night. That must be the most amazing thing ever. They can go anywhere and do this for the rest of their lives, you know? So I'm really fortunate that I found kind of my calling.
What was the first song or riff you ever wrote?
I wrote a song for a girl that I had the hugest crush on. I think I was like in seventh or eighth grade, and she was in high school, and I was just mesmerized by this. And I thought, like, if I wrote her this fun little song, that would make her go out with me. It didn't work.
Didn't work.
By the way, didn't work.
And she still hasn't hit you up to this day.
I have not ran into her ever. I wouldn't even know what she looks like. Yeah. You know,
what was the name of the first band you were in?
The Big Oily Men.
What was it? Big Oily Men.
Yeah, the
Very
big
nice.
Oily Men. Yeah,
and it was that punk side of things.
That was more like us screaming and doing rock punk weird things. You know, I was way into punk, but I didn't play an instrument that well at that time. You know, like I was just starting. So, but the real punk band is the real band that I started, that I wanted to do, that I had it mapped up in my head of how to do it. You know, like that was Blink. That was like my baby.
Yeah. So the birth of Angels and Airwaves, you know, that's starting a whole new band. That's a big deal, you know, back in the day. What led to the start of the band?
Well, Blink broke up, and I didn't think we were ever going to play again. I was having a lot of trouble, you know, kind of getting the band and my family life to map up. And obviously you got to choose your family. And And so at the time, we were just not, we just didn't want the same things. We didn't want to work the same way, and we didn't want to tour the same way. And so it just, we were arguing a lot. There's no communication. It's similar to any other band or marriage where you get together when you're really young. And then by the time you're an adult and have different priorities besides each other, whether it's families and kids or desires, artistic desires. Yeah. We just found yourself apart. So when Blink broke up, I was like, I'll never have that again. That was lightning in a bottle. But yeah, maybe if I create a band that's an art project that dealt with film and media, and it was more self-aware and is more ambitious, and it was, you know, we could do something that hasn't been done, and we can do something that's unique to us only. And that's what you're seeing now, is people starting to realize, you know, how everything I do in my life is tied up with this band. You know, the books that I put out, the films I put out, the TV series, like all that kind of stuff, even the science and all that, it all works together to be one gigantic art project.
It's beautiful. Now, during the, was it the early years of Angels and Airwaves? Didn't the connection between you and the government come together to start getting the word about aliens and UFOs out? How did that come about?
Basically, To the Stars existed as an entertainment group, and one of the stories I wanted to tell was the true story, in a way, the ingredients that got us here dealing with the UFO phenomenon, but the real side of this, not the Independence Day version, but like the hardcore military industrial complex version. And I've been studying it for decades, so I knew kind of a lot about it. And I also knew that if I would just go out there and do it, I could be pissing off a lot of people in the government.
Yeah.
So I spent a good part of a year and a half working my way into government, and got FaceTime with a lot of individuals that held the keys for this subject. And it was then that I started working on a way to have this conversation with the world for the first time. And then not too long after that, and when people saw, like, Wall Street Journal broke a bunch of emails I was doing with John Podesta in the White House, and everyone thought it was a Hillary Clinton campaign thing. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Podesta was Obama's senior advisor. So we were setting up conversations to have with the White House. And then the Russians hacked Podesta's email, all the WikiLeaks stuff. My emails were in that. And the Wall Street Journal said, "What's all this UFO stuff with these, you know, generals and the head of Lockheed Martin Skunk Works and that's all this different stuff." And then that just shut down the whole operation. But that also gave a whole bunch of other people in the government a clear view that I was the real deal, and I was talking to real people, and I was a part of something. So they all came out around me and said, "There's a better way to do this, and we'll help you." So To the Stars became To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. Yeah. And each person took their kind of to head up their domain. And mine, you know, I'm chairman of the board, but, you know, I'm really all about the entertainment division.
Where do these aliens come from? Like, are they, I know there's different theories from planets to time travel. I love this stuff. Everything that you do and all the exposure, thank you. But where do you think they come from? What's their story?
We don't know that. Like, at the company, you know, when we're not in the press, we have a lot of discussions about this.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because everyone's curious and everyone has different points of view and a lot of different, you know, experience on this subject in the government. But really, as a company, we don't discuss things we don't have a factual basis for.
Yeah.
So anything I tell you is not like I have some document or some tangible evidence. I don't have an alien standing next to me. We just say these are machines that are intelligently controlled with technologies that are absolutely beyond anything we can do on this planet. So therefore, we need to set up the appropriate steps to study it, have accountability, and deal with this revolutionary technology and usher out that big conversation that A, we're not alone, and B, we can transform the way the world is and how it operates by being responsible with the things like the technology and so on. One of the things we needed to do was build an artificial intelligence system at To the Stars, which we did, to basically find predictive patterns and analysis on enormous amounts of batch data that are dealing with the observations and the encounters and the government documents and the religious texts and everything into one system that's machine learning. So we partnered with Amazon and we built this.
Wow.
And it can be used for a lot of different things, but this is going to transform transform everything. It's going to create a scientific methodology to deal with all of these things that are happening globally. And I think it's going to be something that many governments are going to want to use, is my hope.
Do you think right now at this point, or, you know, within the next year or two, do you think if all the governments came together and said, you know, aliens are real, they're UFOs, if we don't know where they came from, what do you think the reaction would be?
Well, the Department of Defense already said that UFOs are real.
Yeah.
So when we brought out the videos, I brought the videos out with Two Stars Academy and New York Times. Then the Navy was pressured and came out and said UFOs are real. And that's a real video of it. Then the Department of Defense just came out and said UFOs are real. Now we're publishing the videos.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of people still don't want to listen to that. I don't know what else it's going to take for them. Maybe they need a landing on their lawn or something. You know, but you know, it's the government is now, I'm proud. We forced the government to do that.
It's amazing.
They admitted the lie that's been there for 70 years that this isn't real. Well, it is. And we got that out of them. But we have a 10-year plan, you know, so there's a lot more coming. That's not the only thing. So people need to watch to the story.
Oh, I lost you for a second.
Ears died. And once those died,
yeah,
then off. So
yeah.
What can you do?
Hey, we're back. Do you think we've, and this is just your opinion, I'm asking about your opinion. Do you think that we have dissected some of their technology, like maybe from Roswell to use in our own, you know, jets and other things?
Boy, do I have no comment on that stuff.
Yeah, no comment. What would happen, do you think, if you did comment, though?
What would happen if what?
If you did comment, like say you were told not to say something, what would be the result if you did make a comment?
I have a lot of things in motion.
Gotcha.
Number one, my government partners are all still active with the U.S. government. They all hold very high, top secret security clearances where they polygraph. The second thing, so I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm saying things that I know that might may or may not be classified that puts them in a position where it gets them in trouble, as if the ones that told me weren't, you know. So
yeah,
a bit of that. The other thing is, I have active contract U.S. government on material from a crash with the U.S. Army, and we're trying to figure out what it's all about, what it does. And this is very hardcore research and development contract. So I can't go out there saying crazy things that I don't personally have evidence for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's not going to do the job when this subject with people. They need science. They need facts. They don't want to know something that some guy just says he knows.
Gotcha.
You know, we do things that really push the ball down the field.
Yeah.
That's why we use the videos. That's why we really got the briefings to Congress. That's why we got government to acknowledge that the videos are real, that the thing is real. It's like real, 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 real. And for me to jump the gun on things that are very sensitive, they're going to hurt To the Stars Academy and hurt the long-term efforts of bringing this out responsibly.
Yeah.
And I'm after the entire enchilada coming out. I'm not after just trying to put out some sexy piece of info right now.
Gotcha.
That's not going to.
Yeah. When you do it, you want to do it right. You want to, you know, be the whole scope.
Lasting change world, you know, but just throwing something out there, it doesn't do anything but hurt the effort.
Yeah.
Because then kind of go, he can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Why do we want? And then people kind of go, he's out saying things he doesn't personally have data for, so we can't trust him and his company as thinker, as responsible scientists, and et cetera. And I'm not a scientist, but we have them at our company, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have to respect that scientific process.
Yeah.
But in the entertainment stuff I do, I can do whatever the hell I want. So I think people need
great.
To pay attention to what I'm bringing out.
Perfect. You know? Perfect. Now, you know, I want to ask you things on your opinion, but I also don't want to act like I'm trying to force you to say something that you shouldn't say. I just have so many questions, and you're the top man when it comes to, you know, somebody who isn't in the U.S. government with all this information. But, you know, there's lots of ties to Antarctica and UFOs. A lot of government officials go there. I know it's nothing you could probably answer, but it's out there. So I was wondering if you knew anything, there's anything you can share about, you know, the Antarctica visits.
I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
I know about all the conspiracy theories, but I do have very strong reason to believe that it's a very important place.
Yeah.
I think that it's a very mysterious place and a very important place.
and you can sit back during World War II.
Yeah.
So it's not anything new. But yeah, that's all I'll say here.
When it comes to us going back to space in our own vehicles, you have SpaceX about to, you know, get us up to the International Space Station with manned missions, and then you have NASA with their own rocket. What do you think of that? Do you think they should work together more? I know they already do with some things, but do you think SpaceX and NASA should work together more?
I actually don't, and because we've reached this point where private industry can do better than what government can do. Like, if they were to give the post office, the postal service, to give it to an entrepreneur, they would create FedEx or UPS. You know, they would do it better. And that's what I think is with space. Like, there's so much bureaucracy and oversight in the government. And then the government workers tend to move at a different pace because their job is protected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in private industry, people move much faster to be competitive, to not lose their job, to move up the ranks and get paid more. And this and that is just capitalism working, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I think they move much faster without. And that's why we're doing the same thing at To the Stars Academy. The stuff that we're doing and getting into, we can move a lot faster if it isn't government. Even though we will be working with the government on a lot of this stuff, I just think we're at that point where private industry is who you turn to. I mean, they already, I'm not saying I know enough about this, but they, you know, they do it with jails. They'll get private companies that create jails and get paid to run these, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, I'm assuming they do it better than the government can do it.
Yeah.
You know? I think we can all agree that the government isn't the end all be all with people.
Yeah.
Things, you know, they are the best at a lot of things for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But entrepreneurial, and it's like breakthroughs and it's paradigm that has to come from, like, they, you know, they use like different companies like Lockheed Martin, the Skunk Works.
Yeah.
They need something where they go to a private company, you know, 80% of their money comes from the government, but they are a private company. Mm. So I just think that's how it should be.
Definitely. You know how the DMV is. Not a good time.
Hey, why can't we do that shit online?
Exactly. I don't understand. If you were asked by Elon Musk to go to space for a week, would you go?
No.
No?
I mean, technology is flying up there in a tent where death is like a centimeter away from your face. I think once you know, we're successful in you know, doing electrogravitics, electromagnetics, you know, propulsion system that's more divine and harmonious with nature versus like combustion engines, I think that would be a much better time.
Yeah. I mean, I went to the Air and Space Museum in DC, and you see what some of the first astronauts got in, and they're literally tin cans.
It's a crazy.
They're super small. And
that
some
original,
go ahead.
Original flow capsule and stuff, it looks like a 1950s Ford.
Yeah.
And they're just like taking that into space at 20,000 miles an hour. It's just like, oh, fuck that.
And then some of them opened that tin can and got out of it and floated around for a little bit with a little string attached.
I was like, what's that like?
Yeah.
Stepping out of blackness where there's no bottom, there's no top, there's no right side up. And I'm just like this silent, creepy thing. He's like, no. He's all, actually, there's a fan blowing in your helmet. So you hear this fan, like a white noise.
Yeah.
And then you're talking to people. He's all, it's not the way you describe, but it is weird for other reasons, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Definitely. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I have so many more questions, but, you know, there will be a next time.
Well, look, the next season, I have a series on called Unidentified. The next season drops in the next in a few weeks, I think. So
great.
We're not that far off. I don't have a date at this moment, but there's a lot of news on there. So you got to keep up with that. Keep following To the Stars Academy, obviously. Angels and Airwaves will start to drop the songs, the album and all that this fall. And like the rest of the music world, we're going to be itching to get back out there on the road and plan coming to your town. But thank you for talking to me today.
Hey, man, it's been more than a pleasure. And hopefully we will see you sooner than later. All right, brother?
All right.
Later, bye. Man.